Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
So, Josh Widdicombe.
Hi, Josh.
And Rob Beckett.
What? Beckett.
Oh, he really articulated Beckett.
Yeah, I'd say that was a standout name in all of those. I'd say the Widdicombe needs work.
Yeah, that is Felix. Great name. Giving his intro to your names. Little sister is an absolute troll, so had to get her word in too at the end. That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
I think there's problems there.
Hence the unusual noise, Emily. Thank you, Emily, Felix, and the troll of a little sister.
Didn't even give the name of the kid, just troll. Troll before name.
Yeah, but there we go. Thank you very much. How are you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm good. Not too bad. Kids are in school, which is good. And then...
How's the school run these days?
The school run was stressful at the start, but now it's better. Basically, because we're really close to the primary school, but we can't really walk her anymore. They've got this like drop-off system. You drive in and then a member of staff opens the door and the kid jumps out and runs into the school, and then they shut the door and then you drive off again like you're delivering a celebrity to the red carpet. To stop people having to park.
So however close you are, you have to drive.
No. Right. But we're doing that because the other one goes to a school that is a drive.
Right.
So and they both have to be in by about 20 past 8. So if I did walk there and walk back and then put the little one in the car, there'll be too much traffic by the time I've done that. But at the moment, if we're both home, I've been dropping one and Lou's been dropping the other. But if you're on your own, you have to drive, drop them in and go back round and do a big loop.
Yeah.
And then... But the school traffic's bad. But people drive like lunatic. I just feel like... Do you know what this is... I feel like
you started six sentences in a row there. That was amazing. You started six different sentences in a row.
I know. Just can't stop content. I think that there's people driving around like lunatics, and the world's getting faster. Everything's like so automated, isn't it? Like you can order stuff off your phone, Amazon Prime or whatever, this, that, and everything. But I don't think we need to speed up technology. I think we need to slow people down. I think people are doing too much, and it's ridiculous. People are driving.
Preaching to the choir, mate.
This is my first intervention with Josh Widdicombe, who's just squeezing this in between Five Live and Radio 6. They're driving like in like a rally car race of like, got to get, and everyone's desperately trying to get in front of everyone. And I'm like, this is awful. Yeah. So, and I know people have got meetings to get to and get trained to catch and stuff like that, but it's just, it can't be good for
totally
you.
Agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I
sometimes I'm in a rush too, but I just accept that I might be late because you can't.
Well, that's my
madness.
Fear about the... About the step up to school next year is that we haven't got a deadline with the nursery drop off, so it's pretty stressful as is getting around.
So
the house
what's the time? Any time between 9 and 3?
From 8.
Yeah,
but breakfast finishes at 9:30, so that's basically your deadline is 9:30. So you've got an hour and a half.
Yeah,
and even if you miss breakfast, it's not the end of the world. But you can't just. But with school. It does start at a certain time, and I'm kind of terrified about that.
And the specific pickup. So the pickup is slightly more difficult because we have to get this youngest that comes out at 3 and then the eldest comes out at 3:10. So you have to go and get them at 3 and then jump in the car and then try and get there. But because it's the same thing on the pickup, but you're waiting and then they open the car door and they jump in the car. Like you're trying to get someone who's up in the dock away before the press can take a photo. So you do
blanket over their head as they get in.
Yeah, newspaper covering them, or just big umbrellas like Jordan getting married. And then, but if you get there at 3:05 and you're early, you get sent away because you can't queue up because that's reception come out at 10 past three. So you get sent away if you're early. But then if you're late, you're not allowed to be in the queue because that's the other class, because then they come out 20 past. So it's so stressful because like, you have to time it exactly perfectly. And so that's quite, it's challenging. Yeah. To do that when there's two. People have got four kids. Because also I'm struggling to keep up with what they've got each day, because some days they need to go in their PE kit. Some days it's like they've got funky jazz or whatever it is. Then you've got this, and then the swimming lesson. It's just like I can't even keep up with my week, never mind what they've got to do. And I think that's when the mental load comes in. I think that, that we had that chat before. I think that is more when the kids get older, even though you sort of, the stereotypical thing is one person works, one person does the kids, whether that be male or female. But there are lots of extra little bits when you're operating three people's lives, essentially. Yeah. You become a PA for two children.
You become a tour manager, basically, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, essentially. And they need the right equipment on this time and that. And then they need an extra snack because they're funky jazz until
five.
Have
you got a colour-coded thing on your fridge or anything like that?
Well, it's hard because it keeps changing, because it changes each term. So once you get into a rhythm of it, then it changes again.
Mate.
So it is a bit brutal. And at the moment, Lou's taking the brunt of that, to be fair, because she's at home more. I've got some filming coming up. But yeah, it's carnage.
It's good for me to know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it? That's the main
The admin gets worse. You're not as tired, but there's definitely more to do.
Yeah.
I would say your child, the baby one, at 4 or 5 months old, it's probably the easiest he'll be now. Forever.
Don't,
it just gets harder.
Don't. He is pretty easy, actually, to be fair.
That's what I'm saying. Now
he's a chilled out little baby.
And now they're sleeping in a bit of a sleep pattern, and you're getting that sleep. It's when they stop, mate, that house, when you're the knickknacks in that house, when you've got two, you've got no chance.
Oh, mate, I tell you though, he's got this rhythm going with his sleep. He's almost, I don't want to get cocky, but I think we might be through the 4 month sleep regression a bit.
Well played. Good work. Took it like a champ.
Exactly. So now we're just, it's still 5 a.m. but
still always five.
It's on the dot 5 a.m. but and we're still putting our heads at the wrong end of the bed.
Apart from that, it's great.
Quick
Brunel carriage, sleep.
Quick Brunel carriage and sleep.
Have you picked a school? Have you done open days? Have you seen any schools? What's your school situation? Because you've got to sort that out.
Yeah,
I
know. We've got to apply, haven't we? God, we have got to apply, haven't we?
Really?
Jeez, Louise, I've got to start there. So we're going to, there's a school very near us that was one of the reasons we moved to where we moved.
Yeah.
And we just hope she gets into there. And if she doesn't, then I don't know what we'll do.
But she should get in if you're close.
We're very close, but obviously there's things that take precedent, understandably, like
backhanders to the
kids
head.
Kids that are fosters and people who pretend they live in a flat above a chip shop that they're just renting for the location, that kind of thing.
Do people do that?
No, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. But, you know.
I think they do.
There's rumours, isn't there, about these kind of things going on in the world.
If it's a good school, people want their kids to go to good schools, mate.
As I said, anyway, in other news, Rob, I'm moving out for a few months and I'm moving above a chip shop. So,
lovely. Do you get a discount?
Yeah, I do.
Is that just to mask the smell of your armpits? He's gone from funky jazz pit to a battered sausage pit.
They've had to close down the chip shop because they think they might have some kind of rotting problem in there.
This is a Whittaker upstairs sweating in too many layers.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do need to do that. Have you been on a tour of the school?
No, because of bloody COVID, mate. So we tried to go about 6 months ago. I got in touch with them. Yeah. And they were like, obviously, we can't. So I've got to reorganize that now.
Oh, no.
Because they couldn't take people because of COVID.
Oh, nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, they should be opening now, though.
Fingers crossed she'll get in there. And if not, I suppose it'll just have to be ship her off to Eton.
Yeah, off you go. Age of 5. Oh, imagine.
See you at 18. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. I get people that may send their kids to boarding school when they're, like, secondary school or 13 or 11 or whatever, especially if they're playing up or whatever, or they might enjoy it or work reasons. Because, you know, it's young still, but, it's, you know, you're a bit more older and know what's going on. But I don't, anyone that sends them at, like, 5 to a boarding school, it feels just...
Oh, mate. I don't want to judge other people, but it's not for me. Let's put it that way.
No, not for me or anyone I trust, know and like. But I wouldn't want to judge, you know?
Shall we do some emails?
Yes, please. Have you got any emails? Do you want me to do some of these instas?
Do some instas, Rob.
Okay.
I'll be honest, the week I've had,
This has gone on, Josh. Like, I'm not. I don't care. But the week you've had has sort of been your opening for. I have the odd bad one, but this has been.
It's been regular now. It's been a terrible run of form, hasn't it?
It's like when your mate goes, "Oh, I'm hungover again," and you think, "Why?
Have you got a problem?
Why?" I think you need to. I think you need to abstain from your family, Josh. I think you need to go cold turkey from life.
Oh, exciting though! I've booked a Christmas trip.
Where are you going?
We're going to Alton Towers for two nights to the they've got like a Santa and a Winter Wonderland and all that kind
Lovely.
Of thing.
Lovely. When's Very that?
December the like 5 days before Christmas.
That'd be great. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Because you've not had any holidays with the kids at all, really. Even with when you just had one.
Are we went to no, we've been away a bit with the one. We went to Camber Sands last summer, Rob.
Oh, you did. Sorry. Yeah, I remember. Everyone's been to a little caravan park. But I'm being sneaky. I'm doing gigs in Dubai, but I'm taking the family to double it up. A little work pleasure trip. So the kids will be coming, which will be fun. But also I thought if it all kicks off again, I can just still take them because it's work. You know, not all the TOWIE lot pretended to have photo shoots in Dubai so they could go to Dubai in the lockdown. Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
So if it all kicks off again, I can do that. But I can literally just say, yes, it is work.
I've actually got a gig.
And then if they go, but why do your kids need to come? I'm like, hello. So I tried to bang on that to make it sound good.
I didn't know what happened there, Rob.
No. You know, sometimes you tap on a mic for like effect. I think I just ruined the recording. Anyway, but I'll be like, hello. Imagine me going tap, 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 tap. Hello. I need content for the podcast. It's work, baby.
Oh, very nice.
Do you think? Or is that, nice. Do you reckon that'll get me through customs?
Yeah, I think it will. I don't think there'll be any issues with that.
Do you think there'll be backlash from the newspapers?
I don't think so, no. I think there's bigger shit going on.
Really?
Yeah.
What? What's the big shit at the moment? Well, it doesn't feel like there's much big shit at the moment going on,
does
it?
It doesn't, actually. Yeah, there might be backlash. When was the last time you sat down and thought about COVID?
The problem is all the news stories now, it just seems to be they're just anti-vaxxers that get it.
Oh, the anti-vaxxers.
And then it doesn't really pull on the heartstrings as much, does it? It's like someone being in a running bath with the plug in and then them drowning. Pull the plug out.
One of the strangest analogies I've ever
heard. You could have pulled the plug out there.
You could have pulled the plug out.
Nah, leave it in. I trust my immune system. I can hold my breath.
Do you know what I do not trust my immune system because currently my immune system is pumping out an astonishing stench in a reaction to doing too much PR. So I'm not sure it could deal with COVID.
That's one of the new symptoms. You stink of shit. But you can't smell it because you've lost your sense of smell. Right, okay, here we go. Out of the mouth of babes. This is funny things people's kids have said, which is sort of a Route 1 topic, but always delivers. Have just started listening to your hilarious podcast. My daughter, before her fifth birthday, we were making a big deal about it, getting her excited a few days before to say, you're going to be a big girl, you're going to be five. And then she went to bed, and again we said, you're going to be a big girl and you're going to be five tomorrow. And in the morning, she burst in our bedroom proudly announcing she was no longer in her foreskin.
Oh, wow.
Because she's in her five skin now.
That is a lovely coincidence that's the way she's described it. And
what a terrible turn of events. It did happen to fall on the fifth birthday. Any other skins would have been fine, but the foreskin always really takes your mind off to another direction.
I'm no longer in my foreskin.
And thanks, Michaela.
It's a shame it wasn't in public.
Right, okay. Hi, Rob and Josh. Just listening to this week's podcast and laughing at the kid who says, Jesus Christ, while shitting. My son Archie is six and he sits having a poo, trying to squeeze it out, and will often shout, Mummy, my bum hole isn't big enough. It's not coming out. It's too big to get out.
Oh, my God. We've all been there.
He says it in a strained voice. Mummy, my bum hole isn't big enough. And then when he does poo, he sits there and smiles and goes, oh, that was a good one. That was nice. And cracks up every time after doing a poo.
Wow. Do you think that's how we're all feeling about going for a poo, but children are just more articulate about it and we're more buttoned up.
I think every time I have a shit, I think to myself, there must be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
There must be a better way to do it. This can't just take a pill and it just comes out in like one cough or something. Do you know what I mean? It just feels like there's got to be a better way to get this out of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you one of those on a certain time scale? I find those people freak me out.
What, like exact poos times?
Yeah, like every same time every day is.
Well, I not normally, but I did get into a bit of a rhythm with it in lockdown because I was doing the same thing every day. Yeah. And I was eating a better diet when I was trying to lose a bit of weight. So I was knocking one out. I was having a poo. Squeezing one out.
Yeah.
Normally around 8 a.m. every morning. And if I had a coffee, that would speed up the process. And if I didn't have a coffee, it could be anywhere between 7 and 9. A bit like your daughter's drop-off times. It was sort of varying. But if I had a coffee, that would bring it on. But yeah, I got into a rhythm of that. But now I'm working later and all over the place. It will sometimes be a surprise to me when I need a poo.
This will blow your mind, Rob.
You've been shitting out your armpits?
I know someone who goes once every 2 weeks.
Julian Assange?
Once every 2 weeks. And they've been to a doctor and the doctor said, look, there's nothing you can do. That's just the way your body works.
Is he a council binman? Better than Assange, wouldn't it? Better than Assange. Yeah, Assange really didn't make sense. But once every 2 weeks. And what did the doctor say? That's fine.
That's all. They were just like, yeah, we've checked. You know, there's nothing. This is just you.
So is it one giant one?
I don't know. I haven't spoken. It's a woman, Rob.
Oh, it's a she.
It's a she. I haven't spoken to her in depth about it.
Do I know her?
No, you wouldn't know. She's not in comedy.
I think she should be with that kind of source material. If I shit every 2 weeks, you'd know about it. I'd get a good 10 minutes out of that.
Yeah.
I'd actually spend more time talking about it than doing it mostly.
Imagine the weight differential after when you...
Oh, God, yeah. She couldn't be a boxer, could she? Imagine that. You've got weighed in. Give me half hour. I did a coffee stat. So Kirsty said, as well as him saying the hole isn't big enough, also said he also likes to ask why his willy goes big when he pushes out a poo.
Oh my word.
Is this even normal? As the owner of a vagina, I have no idea if the strain of pushing makes a willy go bigger.
No, it doesn't.
No?
What do you? What?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never known my willy to go bigger through straining.
No, that's not a poo. Thing. If someone said that happened to them, I think this person's turned on by shitting.
Well, if there's any adults out there that does get an erection when they shit, let us know.
But preferably not, you know, not too graphically.
I think, though, what he might do is, though, because he's straining so hard, I think it's...
Yeah, all the blood's rushing to that area. Yeah,
maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but I've never had a... erection while pooing. I do sometimes very difficult to go with a wee. And then, you know, wake up with morning glory and you've got an erection and you need a wee. That is a nightmare.
That is an absolute disaster.
It's just, what do you do? Hunch over and sort of bend it down without snapping it?
Yeah, you have to basically use the wall as a kind of, as a thing to create, to make yourself more horizontal. Behind the toilet.
No, so I've got like a little shelf thing and then the window. So it's like, I can't. So do you know what I've been doing?
So you can't get any purchase.
Right, so do you know what I've been doing?
What?
If I've got an erection when I need a wee, I go to the toilet, right?
Yeah.
And then I lift the lid up and I sit on the toilet back to front like a boss. What, like chatting to you. Like, you know, with a chair on your chair.
Like AC Slater instead of by the bell.
So I'm sat like that and then I get my willy and I pop it and I actually sort of like hook it underneath the rim of the toilet.
So it touches it.
Yes.
Oh, Rob.
And it keeps it in place, and then I can, and then I just go for it. And it's sort of like, and also the bell end also like acts as an anchor. So I am touching it. My dick is touching the toilet, but there's no other way, because otherwise, if you just sit on the toilet and wee, you're pissing on the ceiling. If you stand up, you're just pissing straight vertical or pissing on your own face. So I straddle it and sit backwards and my arms on the cistern and go like that. And it's been a real game changer. Especially
this does sound like the explanation you're giving when someone's caught you doing something in a hotel room and you've left the door open.
No, I'd stand by that. Lou's seen me do it. It's the only way. I do think sometimes, though, because of weight distribution, I don't want to snap the toilet off. Because there's so much weight on the front that wouldn't normally be there.
Right, yeah. I don't know what I mean? Worry about that. I genuinely...
Because it's impossible to piss. And also, if you do it in the middle of the night, you can catch a little, like, micro sleep as you're pissing.
So I've got through to the age of 38 without being one of those people that needs to get up for a piss in the middle of the night, and I'm dreading.
Really, never.
Well, if I've been drinking, like alcohol.
Oh, right.
But like on a normal night.
But do you have a cut off of water before bed, or would you drink a glass of water before bed?
I'd drink a glass of water before bed, mate.
Oh, you cocky bastard! My bladder must be in pieces.
But it's genuinely, it's quite a kind of it's something I dread. Is that in the future that's going to be my life, isn't it? Getting up in the night to go to the toilet in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I've got you down as a big, big middle of the night pisser, Josh. I'm surprised it's not happened yet.
And then not being able to get back to sleep, and then, oh, God, no, thank you very much.
And then
much.
You just hooked your knob on the...
Just hooked my knob there, and then I found falling asleep, and people are like, why is he straddling the toilet?
Yeah, and you've got he's toilet 80. Duck on your balls.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah, and then you just... I don't know what I was going to say, it's so awful, but... Got carried away.
Worse than toilet duck on your balls.
Yeah, I was gonna say something about putting something up your ass. I don't know why. I thought I had to end there. Like, I couldn't think of what I was thinking about that. And then you just, you know, you get to the bed and you find the end of the bed. I don't know. I've got to stop talking. Right, I've got another Instagram message here. If you want this one,
yeah, go for it.
Just listen to your podcast. I wanted to say I've listened to your podcast in the dentist. It's difficult not to laugh, but it also acts as a distraction. The dentist even saw that I was listening to it, and we had a conversation about the podcast. Keep up the work. I don't have kids, but I'm really enjoying listening to it. Emma. Thank you, Emma.
That's very nice.
You yawned there, Josh.
I did.
Right, I've got another one.
I think I've done well to get this far in life without...
Something about to cry.
Yeah, I'm going to have some fizzy water.
Oh, here we go. My husband and I both love the podcast, and we listen to old episodes whilst falling asleep. Not the new ones, obviously, as they are A-star listening and worthy of long car journeys / tidying the house.
Yeah.
This does mean, however, that some... Can you imagine tidying your house without a podcast on?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Just silence and just the noise of you shuffling around moving things.
You're having to concentrate on it. I do almost everything now. I mean, it's bad, isn't it? But with a podcast on or with music on.
Yes, like this couple do as well, if you listen to this, Josh.
Oh, no.
This does mean, as we are listening to it when we're in bed...
Oh, no.
Sometimes we have accidentally had sex to your dulcet tones.
Oh, no. Accidentally. Come on.
Accidentally. My husband has had to start asking me to turn it off about halfway through. Surely it should help. In a way, because, you know, if anything, halfway through, I need as much distraction as possible to not finish early and listening to me and you, unless me and him are getting him off. And it's making him finish
too
early.
Good for him. He's like, I need less stimulus.
You know you've had a good one when you can hear Dion Dublin and you're still going. my husband has had to start asking me to turn it off about halfway through, as it's not overly helping his performance. Although I secretly wonder if it's actually a Pavlov's dog type thing and he's worried that your voices will trigger him on his train commute.
Oh, I see.
Could you imagine being on the train to work and ejaculating because you hear our voices? If that has happened, email him.
That is interesting, though.
I can't have sex to a podcast.
No. What if you had to have sex to a podcast? What would it be?
Oh, well, I'd actually go for something quite bleak and boring to stop me from finishing early, I'd say.
One
about the war.
Yeah, like Dan Snow's history hit or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. What you don't know about the Normans. Something like that. Me, you, and the Roman Empire with me, Matt Billings. Right, do you want another one?
Yeah, go on.
I've got loads of good ones here. Hi, R&J. We've never had R&J before.
We've never had R&J.
I had quite an interesting phone call last week from my kids' school, which I think may be on par with the worst weekend. After a missed call, I had a voicemail which urged me to call back as soon as possible due to my son's medical problem.
Oh, no.
To my knowledge, my son doesn't have a medical problem. So panicking, I phoned back immediately. The school's wellbeing officer answered and they said they had to ask me a few questions due to something my son had told his teacher. My son had apparently hurt himself and was crying, but also wriggling and writhing around like he needed the toilet. So the teacher asked if he needed to go. My son then proceeded to tell her that he was just itchy and he always gets an itchy bum at night. I had to confirm he did not have worms and this had not happened in quite some time. She then went on to say my son had told his teacher that his grandma's dog bit his willy and it now has scabs on it.
Oh, my God.
hence the main purpose of the phone call. I had to assure the well-being officer, while trying not to laugh, that the dog had never bitten anyone, let alone my son's penis. Luckily, they saw the funny side, and my son later confirmed he was joking. And I was explaining that he often tells these elaborate stories. He's 18, and I'm hoping that these stories... No, I'm joking.
I fell for that completely.
Did you? He's a good one. He's 5, and I'm hoping that the stories soon stop. We tried to tell him the story of the boy who cried wolf, but he had a nightmare about a wolf and eating him for a week solid. Anyway, I love the podcast. It cheers me up no end. Thank you, Faye. Yes, that intense, is
something,
isn't it?
Else.
But that's a weird thing to lie about, isn't it? That a dog bit my willy and gave me scabs.
They should give him a short, sharp shock and tell him the dog's been put down, so that he knows that, you know, the power his words have.
Yeah, but don't put the dog down. Might be too short and sharp.
Okay.
The dog's dead because you lied. I've got another one here. This one's from Kylie. Listening to today's episode, I too had a C-section a year ago yesterday. Junior doctor attending, and when during the tidy-up, they were asked by the surgeon what they thought of the procedure. The junior doctor's response was, "It's disgusting, not what I expected, and I don't think I want to do this again." What? There was zero banter, and they moved on.
That is amazing. That sounds like a terrible TripAdvisor review.
I wouldn't come back. Very unwelcoming.
1 star.
Messy. Not so been cleaned in weeks.
She heard her own cesarean, the most important moment of her life, described as disgusting, not what I expected, I wouldn't come back again.
I know, awful. Some people,
that is amazing,
are mean.
Disgusting. But surely, if you're... What did you expect? What did you expect a cesarean to be?
Well, yeah, like, yeah. I mean, also as well, what did you expect, you know, being a doctor would involve?
Yeah, exactly. You're a doctor. You're not like data input and then you've been brought in to look at a cesarean. Like,
yeah, if you want something simple with clean-cut lines, be a Swedish architect.
Exactly.
And I've always said that to junior doctors. Right, have you got any emails, or do you want some more?
Yeah, go on. Let me go for this.
Okay, have a little look, can't I? I trust you.
Here we bloody go.
Here we go, Josh. You ready for this?
The old computer cranking in. And yeah, I have tried to buy a new computer, Rob, by the way.
What's happening?
There's none available.
Do you know what that is? Basically, there's these certain components that are in everything, and there's only a few factories that make them, and one burnt down, and because of, like, COVID and factories being shut down for now and again, and Brexit with the shipping of stuff, you can't get stuff. I had to wait ages for a Velux. Normally, you can get them in a week. Sometimes on the shelf, Josh.
A Velux you had to wait ages for?
Yeah, those little Velux windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, like, a slanty roof.
Yeah,
I had to wait ages, but they're normally fine.
Because this was the thing, I went into Apple and I was like, they had them
for
all out. Yeah, for Velux. An eye window.
Other slanty windows are available, but I don't know what they're called. So you went into the computer shop and they didn't have a computer?
They had the computers out, but they then said, well, we just don't have any. It's like, don't have them out then, mate. Right, ready?
Always.
Okay.
Are you ready? Do you want me to do an Instagram?
No, let me do this. Sorry, my mind is fucked. I'm just completely lost it.
What's on your mind now? What have you got to do?
I'm just burned out. I'm just completely burned out.
Okay.
I'm right.
Is this fun content now, or is this actually a cry for help?
No, this is actually a cry for help.
So what have you got? What can you drop out? Why don't we go for your diary live on the podcast?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I've just got to get to the end of the day. I've just got to... Advice for Rob. Stroke paddling pool. Hi, guys. Been listening to you guys making me laugh out loud for a while walking the dog, which makes me look like some crazy dog lady. Was listening about paddling pools and have a small hack for you both. Chlorine tablets that you can buy for hot tubs.
Oh.
You can buy a floating device that you put the tablets in, leave it in the pool after use. It keeps the water clean, meaning not having to change the water every time.
Oh.
Isn't that a useful thing to find out in the last week of summer, Rob?
You know, seeing as I've just literally dragged my old paddling pool to the dump, it's good to know that... It got ruined. I know it's bad, but it only costs about 35 quid, and I just sort of... The amount of space it takes up, and it's normally always ripped, and I sort of buy one for the summer and then get rid.
I know we've talked about it before, but if I could get rid of one invention, it would be the paddling pool.
I'd say the sprinkler's more fun than the paddling pool.
Loved the sprinkler. The sprinkler's There's great. So much fun when I was a kid. Running over the top of a sprinkler is... And the one, have you got the sprinkler that moves left and right and then you can go under it like it's like a tunnel?
Yeah, that's,
I genuinely think if you left me on my own with a sprinkler on a lawn now for an afternoon, I'd still have a great time.
Yeah, because you could have your headphones in and still do interviews lying underneath it. You can't get burnt out when you're wet.
Okay, this is another tip.
Yep.
I really enjoyed the latest podcast, particularly the story of the kid being left in the sweet shop due to parenting responsibility mix-up. I have no memory of that.
Yeah, it was that bloody she left and they went off and the dad, she thought the dad had the kid and then it ate all the sweets and then she got charged for the sweets.
Yeah, that was a good day. My wife and I read somewhere about the process of pilots handing over controls to their co-pilot through a verbal acknowledgement of your plane, my plane.
Oh.
We have adopted this for our son of 24 months.
Bit young to fly a plane. That's good stuff.
That is really strong.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not stand-up podcasting, but you can still throw a few zingers in there when you need to, just to keep the, you know, keep it going.
His name is Harris. So
Harris?
Harris, as in...
First name Harris?
It's first name Harris.
That's what people call their arse, isn't it? You're Harris.
But where's he from? Not everyone lives in southeast London. These people live in Nottingham.
Oh, I was going to say, Mottingham. Look, Aris. Yeah, Aris. Cockney rhyme slang is Aris from Aristotle Bottle. Boot up the fucking Aris.
What's Bottle got to do with?
I don't know. Aris Bottle.
Aristotle Bottle.
I know, because Aris, that's more confusing. Aris is already rhyming slang, then they've got rhyming slang for the rhyming slang.
Are you from southeast London?
Yeah. Look, Aris. Up the Aris is your arse becomes bottle and glass, which becomes bottle, normally leaves out a rhyme word. So it's basically and bottle becomes Aristotle.
What a culture. That is not easier.
It wasn't supposed to be easier so that police didn't know what you were talking about.
Why do the police need to know whether you're talking about apples and pears and stairs?
Because everyone in East London and South East London near the docks was a criminal and they were all buying and selling stolen goods and they'd do it by doing this kind of stuff.
There you go.
I don't know who's buying an arse.
No, who's buying an arse?
Aristotle,
some apples and pears, and a dog and bone. I suppose you could buy a dog and bone.
You could buy. I've got 200 dog and bones.
Yeah.
And then the police are like, "And why has he got a big box of telephones next to him while he's selling dogs?" I just don't get this. So yeah, Aris is rhyming slang for arse.
Right.
So he'll be all right in Nottingham. Or
yeah,
she.
I'll be fine in Nottingham.
Is Harris a name?
It's a boy.
Yes. Harrison. It must be Harrison.
Yeah. His name is Harris. Right.
Okay, sorry, Aris.
It does make some strange looks and problems. So what they'll do is they'll say, "You're Harris, my Harris." So they never get the situation.
Okay, it sounds like they're doing a drug deal in South East London. Isn't it? So you're Harris, my Harris.
Yeah.
God, I don't want to be wandering around East London doing this.
I know, but you do it with your own kid. So say you and Lou go out, right?
Yeah, and we go, you're Aris. So say my kid's called Gavin. You're Gavin, my Gavin.
Yeah, so that's the way you do it, so that you never leave a kid in a sweet shop.
Your arse, my arse. Your face or mine. Basically, sorry, I've been really sidetracked by
with you. It was meant to make things simpler, and if anything, I feel that ship has sailed.
I think you've really complicated the issue to someone that knows Aris as rhyming slang.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
Shanks' pony.
What's Shanks' pony?
It's better than Shanks' pony. It means like better than walking.
Right.
And Ark at him. You've heard of Ark at him, haven't you?
I've heard of Ark at him.
Yeah, Ark.
Why would you say better than Shanks' pony?
I don't know, really. I moaned at my mum about our car being rubbish when I was a kid. She went, "Well, he's better than Shanks' pony." And what is that? It used to refer to one's own legs and the action of walking. You can use a chairless cable cars or even the trusty Shanks' pony.
I'd say your mum saying, "Well, it's better than walking," is not a big sell for a car.
Well, Shanks or Shanks derives from the name of the lower part of the leg between the knee and the ankle, the shank. But anyway, thank you very much for emailing, and I hope you have a lovely long life for your children, Shank and Harris.
You got any Instagrams, Rob?
I'll have an Instagram for you, mate. Let's finish on this one. This is a good little tip, this one. Let's finish on a tip. This is from Tom Heacham from Norfolk. Hey, Rob and Josh, love the podcast. Although 4 episodes a week would suit me better if that could be arranged. I don't know
if that would be what I need at this moment.
No, 2's a stretch for Widdicombe at the moment, to be fair. My reason for emailing is I believe my genius hack could help others and I'd like to share. Not modest, is he, this guy? I recently took my 4-year-old son to Legoland. Is he obsessed with Lego? As we all know, when setting up these treats, they also become the blackmail for said child being good by use of reward charts, for instance, or in your case, the pom-pom jar.
Yeah.
This worked for a while, but he soon started to ignore the chart. This is why I came up with the Lego elf.
The Lego elf.
The Lego elf, or whatever your child is into. So it could be a Peppa Pig elf or whatever.
It's like the dummy fairy.
Yes. The Lego elf watches what we do all day. But here's the good bit. I changed the name of my phone on Alexa announcement to Lego Elf. Now, when I want him to be good, I just get Lego Elf to tell him through Alexa.
Oh, my word.
This also works when the elf take toys away for being naughty, as then it's not your responsibility. You don't know where the toys have gone, so can't get them back until the Lego Elf or elf decides that they have been good enough to bring them back. I think that is the work of a fucking serial killer. Tom Heacham, I think you're raising a monster. You cannot have a robot in your house punishing your child. I can't get on board with that. The robot Lego elf in the corner that takes your toys away. Because what he's suggesting is you just nick the toys and hide them. And when the kid goes, Daddy, where's my toy? You go, the Lego elf took them. So now they think there's this actual thing walking around the house, stealing toys, then hiding in a little metal box and talking to him all the time whilst always watching. Imagine when he gets to 14 and wants to have a wank. Fucking Lego elf's on his case. Put it away, will you, mate?
I'd say that's one of the most terrifying. But
I'm getting stressed thinking about it.
It's terrifying, but I reckon there's going to be a third of our listeners going, that is awful, but we're going to use that now.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to try later. I'm not going to lie. Oh, dear. But they say that Alexa makes people talk to, like, bad manners. Like, and especially because it's Siri and Alexa, it's something like female voices. It makes people like be rude, especially to like female people.
Oh, really?
Like when you go like, Alexa, stop. Because there's no like, excuse me, please, do you mind turning the music off? It's just stop. Shut up.
Oh, I see. There's not enough manners.
Exactly. That's what people
do. So do you think Alexa should go, do not talk to me like that?
They go, pardon?
Pardon?
Do you want your Lego back?
Yeah.
Do you? Huh?
What's the magic word?
What's the magic word? Upgrade to Prime. spend more on the store. I'm the Lego elf.
Have you got Alexa?
Lou bought these little Alexa things in their bedrooms that they like play music on, but I don't really understand how it works. I feel like a bit of a granddad.
Yeah, we've got it, and I never use it.
Be careful, mate. We'll have an advert in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah, it's very good, actually. I do like it.
I'll raise up, boy.
Just edit out the bit we don't need.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to employ that strategy, though, on the Alexa, to be honest.
No. But if anyone does employ it, and, you know, you can make it really edgy. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well, they go, yeah, we have been using it, and you can see what impact it had on Crime Watch next week. The results of my child's case will be on there. I like the idea, but I can't see it work, and I think it might freak the kids out too much, personally.
Exactly.
Each to their own.
Each to their own. What I thought it'd be nice to end with, Rob.
Yeah.
Is it'd be nice to end with some nice emails about, particularly about Jeff Norcott, who I thought did an amazing thing to come on here and talk about what he did.
Yeah.
He talked about a late miscarriage. And yes. So I thought it'd be nice to read out some emails from people who were affected by that. There's also some lovely emails about you, Rob, but I don't think we should read those out. Hi, guys. I just want to send a huge thank you to you both for this podcast. I've been listening for 4 to 5 months now, and for 3 of those months, my husband has been deployed. He's a pilot in the RAF, so he's been super busy, and I've been at home with our 18-month-old daughter. Your podcast massively helped with the loneliness. The days where the only time I had to myself was listening to this whilst cooking dinner. I even had you playing at breakfast time sometimes, just to hear adults or to drown out our thoughts when worrying about my husband. On the days when I felt guilty about finding solo parenting hard, I felt normal thanks to the stories you share. It was so helpful to hear other people find parenting difficult, and it's okay to want to have time to yourself. I recommended your podcast to literally all my parenting friends and also those that don't have kids. Just because I love it so much, I'm just listening to the Jeff Norcott episode where you guys talk about panic attacks, and I felt like I had to message. You're both so fantastic about normalizing important struggles, and I'm so grateful that I stumbled across the episode. Thank you so much for helping me get through my second stint of solo parenting during the pandemic. I'll be forever grateful, Hannah. That's a nice message,
that's
isn't nice. It?
That's more about us than Jeff, though.
I know. I saw his name in the email, and then I started reading it, and I realised halfway through I fucked up here.
I wouldn't be surprised if you just edited in the Jeff bit, because there are actual Jeff emails.
Yeah. Do you want a Jeff Norcott one?
Yes, as you promised, please.
Yeah.
We're getting enough compliments here. We'll give it sling one to Jeff.
All right, guys. First of all, cracking podcast. Been listening since the beginning, and you will not believe how much this has helped me through the proper lockdown. I was furloughed from my job and was stuck at home with an angry ginger wife and three children under the age of 7. Lockdown hell. Strange detail he's thrown in there.
Gingers never stop. It never stops for the gingers, even married.
No, it does, even if you're married and you've given the man three children and, you know,
he's still getting gingered off.
I've just listened to the Jeff Norcott episode and felt this instant need to pull over and message you guys. My wife and I went through a miscarriage before the birth of our first child, and as mentioned on the podcast, words cannot explain how unbelievably tough and hard it is on the woman, both physically and mentally. It really affected my wife, and she sadly sunk into a dark hole of depression. Thankfully, she's such a fighter, has worked incredibly hard to battle this. So refreshing to hear Jeff normalise the fact that men hurt too. I've never really spoken about the hurt and heartache I went through, as I thought it was not the done thing. And honestly, no one ever asked how I was, which I just accepted. Fast forward 8 years, after listening to the episode, I finally spoke to my wife about the hurt and emotion I was feeling. Fuck me, there were tears, but we managed to have the most amazing conversation about it. And now we can actually talk about the little one we lost and not feel like we have to tread on eggshells. This sort of thing really does need to be talked about more, especially among men, and men need to learn that crying is not a sign of weakness, but strength. Wow, that was a lot of waffle of a message. He's put that in, just to be clear, that was him.
Fucking hell, Josh, you're brutal. I know you're on a tight schedule, but poor guy, he's pouring his heart out.
He's put that in. Anyway, keep up the cracking work on this epic podcast. Hands down the best out there, even better than Chris and Rosie Ramsey. Once again, he has put that in himself.
It's not the time to throw shade, okay? It's a serious message.
That's him. Also, what about those two wankers on off menu? That one was me.
Oh, bless him. What was his name?
Chris from Norfolk. Thank you so much, Chris. And we'll forward that on to Jeff as well, because that is an amazing thing to hear. And I thought what Jeff did was brilliant on this show.
Yeah, no, it's so impressive that you had that conversation, because you could have still just been affected by it but still sort of remained closed off. So, but talking always helps. And I think subconsciously your behaviour may be different and not very positive because of stuff deep down like that you're not talking about. So it's great to be able to be open and things like that. So well done, mate, and well done, Jeff Norcott.
Thank you to everyone for listening, for emailing, and for, you know, appearing on the show if they're on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Next week, we'll be back with guests, and we'll be back with our normal episode on Tuesday. We'll see you then.
Cheers, bye.
Hello, I'm Tom Crane.
And I'm Simran Shah, and we're the hosts of the new food and comedy podcast, My Favourite Takeaway, where each week we're invited into the home of a celebrity guest to share their favourite takeaway, exactly as they'd normally have it.
We'll be trying it all, from Peruvian street food slouched on James Acaster's L-shaped sofa,
to an Antiguan feast huddled around Andy Oliver's dinner table,
via an alfresco Indian takeaway sat in Tom Allen's garden. And we also want to hear from you, the listener.
Your takeaway disasters.
Your weird habits.
And your personal takeaway recommendations. You can follow us on Insta, My Favorite Takeaway Podcast,
on Twitter at Fave Takeaway Pod,
or you can email us hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe, like, and share.
My Favorite Takeaway, the podcast for anyone who loves food but can't always be bothered to cook it.
Available on all podcast platforms now.
Hello, I'm John Richardson, and I'm here to tell you about the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast.
I'm Matt Ford, and I'm here to tell you that although our podcast is about Fantasy Premier League, it's not just for saddos, losers, and virgins.
Yeah, it's for cool people like us and you. You're listening to this, so you must be cool.
Each week, we follow the highs and lows of the fantasy football teams of some of the country's funniest people. The great thing is, you don't really need to be into Fantasy Premier League or even football to enjoy it.
That's because each week, Matt and I compete with each other, the lowest scorer in FPL having to do a humiliating forfeit each week. Spoiler alert, every week so far, it's been Matthew.
I'll be honest, it's not the start I'd hoped for. Already, I've had to do a humiliating chili challenge and try to have a pint with a duck, but it swam off.
Even ducks don't want to be near Matt Ford. Over the course of the season, we'll be joined by comedians such as Russell Howard, Romesh Ranganathan, Maisie Adam, Josh Widdicombe, Jason Manford, Emily Dean, Rob Beckett and Ian Sterling.
So don't delay. Pick up your phone and subscribe to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast now. New episodes are released every Wednesday until the end of the season.